by two, we were really concerned and took him to get evaluated. He was 2 and 3 months at that point. They diagnosed him medically right away with autism. His intervention at that point was we had these two people coming to the house, a speech therapist and a special educator. The special educator was coming once a week for an hour, maybe an hour and a half. The speech therapist was coming twice a week for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. We were just thinking he was getting these boosters until he could go to preschool. I had him signed up for when he was going to turn 3 for our local preschool, and it had not yet entered our mind that he might not be able to go to normal preschool. We moved to Seattle when Brian was about 2.5 years old. John, my husband, came 2 weeks ahead of time, and his job was to get us signed up so we could start having people come to our house, like in New York. We got a very rude awakening that that was just not going to be available to us in Seattle. And in fact, John, he spent a great deal of time on the phone trying to figure out how to get services, felt like after a day of phoning people that he was giving people in the community more information about services than they were giving him, because there was just so little out there. But the one fortunate call that he made was to the experimental education unit at the University of Washington. They had an infant toddler program. He talked to the person who ran it. She was delighted to have Brian come, which was not an answer that we were hearing from anybody. And again, this wasn't what we wanted. What we wanted was somebody to come to our house, like New York. That was our first introduction into the school system. He got into the infant toddler program at the EEU and then stayed through preschool. The EEU is in the Seattle school district. We were still just trying to grapple with what does this diagnosis mean and what help we need for Brian. When he turned kindergarten age, we picked a school doing full inclusion. Brian had very severe autism, and he needed a one-on-one aide with him the whole time if he was going to be fully included. Even with the one-on-one aide, what I saw over the course of the 6 years was that it was just getting harder and harder as the gap between him and the other kids got larger and larger to figure out ways to include him in the classroom. There wasn't a special ed classroom because it was full inclusion, and he couldn't be in the gen ed classroom, so he and his aide were spending more and more time by themselves, and they had a portable where she could go and work with him one-on-one, and again, more and more of their time was spent there, and less of their time with other people. And I just started wondering whether it would have been better to be in a self-contained classroom where he would have at least have been around other kids and other adults. The difference between medical and educational services is that in education, they're required to individualize for different students' needs. And the schools, because of the law, have had to figure out what you do, or at least attempt to figure out what you need to do to meet the needs of all different kinds of kids. Well, what I found in the medical field is that they don't have that same requirement. And I find it very hard to find medical professionals that can really do anything significant as far as evaluating Brian's medical needs. I've had a real hard time finding people who can use the strategies that they need to use to evaluate somebody like Brian, and especially to take the time, because it just takes a lot of time with Brian. You have to be really patient and never make him feel threatened, never make him feel that he's being asked to do something against his will. And that takes way more time than your typical medical professional has.